Blog Talk Radio.
Volunteering in the community for non-for-profit organizations, and they want to
monitor all of their community hours. That is very important. Some school districts are mandating that the high school students do community service and keep track of them. So does that get a person in college? Is that a prerequisite? In some universities, it is. Now, we want to talk about that individualized plan. And this is something that I would like to see all African-American males have. That way they don't slip through the cracks. They have a plan of study to plan to get out of high school into a position or possibly into college. Now, we're going to talk about that in a moment. I'd like to invite all of you educators into the room. I'd like to invite you social workers, you counselors, and teachers. Please do come into the room and entertain the question and answering session, because we need your input. We need your input to talk on these topics. So I invite you to be a part of this segment. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We'll bring this information back to you shortly, and we'll meet you in the air. Stay tuned for station identification.
Pomona is a message. Got to get the message to our brothers and sisters.
Welcome back, family. Once again, our topic this evening is talking about embracing the educators to build a framework for our youth who are transitioning out of high school. Do they need a preparatory plan, a plan to prepare them to go to college? And is it necessary for them to have an individualized learning plan? In some states, they have found that it is mandatory. I don't know about your state, but there are some states that do. Hold tight, ladies and gentlemen. We're just going to open up our chat room. And if you'd like to be a part of our chat room, we invite you to come in and be a part. If you'd like to give any type of input and you'd like to make comments, please write your comments. We'd love to hear from you. Our call number is 646-478-0270. Please do use that number to call in, especially you, Lil G. Go ahead, lock that dial in, Lil G, and keep it right there. Don't move it. Keep it right there. Now, ladies and gentlemen, once again, all jokes aside, this is a serious matter. We're talking about our college prep programs. We're talking about our high school students who are transitioning out of high school. How do we frame a category for that, for those students to have an individualized learning plan? Number one, black boys that are in special ed. I'm calling you because most of the numbers show that you are heading up the number one count in those special ed programs. Mothers, if you go to those MTE meetings, the first thing you need to ask about is a transitional plan for your student if he's on his way out to graduate. And by the age of 14, they should have a transitional plan in their file. Also, we want you to ask about the individualized learning plan, which is similar to the IEP. You can visit that plan as frequently as you like to make adjustments or to make changes. But it's very definite that you know that this individualized learning plan is different from the IEP. This is a learning plan that transitions that child into the workforce, into an internship, or into the college. And it should be with higher level learning. Now, mothers and teachers, when these students are in school, you might want to engage them in community service so they can put those hours of experience in and get credit for them. That's right. Let them engage in enrolling in those community service. And some school districts are now in an automated tracking system so they can keep track of those hours so the student can provide the hours to their university, to their counselors, and for graduation. Now, there is various different requirements for the Core 40. The Core 40 hours in some school districts is required as minimum. In some school districts, it's not. But it's very vital that you should understand that our students are not making it out of high school. That's right. Our black children are dropping out before they get to this point. How can we alleviate that? How can we amend the dropout? By keeping them engaged, doing community service. When those children are on expulsion or those children are out of school, counselors, we can design programs for those children to go and do community service and still be about the business of accumulating hours and time towards their graduation. There are far too many children sitting around on stumps and on corners doing nothing. When community service at one time used to be a mandated requirement for all graduating seniors in some school districts. Now, what I'd like to say is that when you put a plan together, mother, individual plans should incorporate the counselor there, the social worker there, the teacher, and anybody else you want to bring to the meeting. But you definitely have to understand that this is a bona fide document that needs to be held in responsibility by having it logged online and in some folder where you can retrieve it through automation, through electronic, through online or mobile. Now, everything is going mobile these days. Children should be able to chart their hours through their mobile phone for volunteering in some districts. Now, all districts are not set up where they can track these community service hours like some of the suburban schools are doing. But it's very vital that you should know that without a plan, Junior will be planning to go nowhere. And if you don't understand what I'm talking about, parent, you go into school and you ask for your junior or your graduating senior, does my child have an individualized plan, a plan of study to describe where he's going or she's going once she graduates high school? Now, don't wait until the last day for graduation. If they're a sophomore now, you need to be checking on it. When they're a junior, check on it again, and definitely check on it when they're a senior. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that without a graduating class and without higher-level learners, we do not have a future. It's up to the parents to make a future for our young children. It is not up to the children to make a future for us. That is why you've got to get involved, counselors. You've got to get involved, teachers and advisors, and especially parents. Where we're going wrong at, we're talking about all this Common Core curriculum and all of these new didactics and cognitive concrete material, and the child is being left behind. Now, I'd like to say that the way you prevent from leaving a child behind is that you incorporate the child in your planning, and it is child-driven and not just teacher-driven. And that's what most of these tests are, administrative and teacher-driven, and they do not consider the child. Now, we're going to talk about what best ways and best practices we can use to keep our children interested in school and keep them attainable and not just entertained, but interacting in these programs. Now, there are tons of programs in the school that most African-American families do not even know about or sometimes don't even hear about. The scholarship list. Are you entertaining the scholarship list? Because if your child is in special ed, it doesn't matter, mother, he still may be eligible for a scholarship to someone's university. And even if they are tagged and labeled, they still could be bound for a technical college, a junior college, and they still can be college material. What is happening now, we have nothing for our black boys. Now, I'm going to say, churches, you are to mandate that there are special programs for black boys. In the state of Pittsburgh, they are working very, very, well, in the city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, they are working very, very hard to make sure that there are special programs outlined for black boys. Now, I didn't stutter, and I didn't run over my words. I said black boys. If they're the first ones to be tagged and labeled for special ed, we certainly want them to be the first ones to entertain these new and energized programs. That's right. They have to be energized and energetic. They cannot be torn, worn-out programs that nobody wants to participate in. So we're putting a plan together, a learning plan. That child needs to be engaged in somebody's fellow program so that he could go into offices and he can put in time in the community and non-for-profit organization and get an exposure to what the workforce is. Some black boys never get an experience of the workforce. Schools need to change. Schools should be 50% community service and the other 50% academics and theory and practicum. They're not getting enough practicums and hands-on experience, so they have no work experience. So the way we turn this thing around is that we collaborate and become partners of our non-for-profit organization and let those non-for-profit organizations service our youth who are coming out of high school. Starting at their sophomore year, they should all be hooked up with an intern where they can put hours in. Now, what happens, you say, Omi, if these children have already dropped out and they're not 25 yet? I said we go and get those youngsters from the age of 22 to 30 years old, and I said we put them in internships, give them an opportunity to learn a trade and a skill. All this crime we're talking about that we have is due to the fact no employment for preparation, and we can do a better job, teachers. We can create preparatory programs and prep college programs like free college programs. Now, I don't know about you, but most of the teachers I know are engaged in the summer in college preparatory programs to help our young people get their first experience at going to college so they know that they can excel and do well in college, because if they have the opportunity to during the summer months, they have an idea that they could fare well in anybody institution. So it's very, very vital that mothers and fathers get involved with the preparatory work for our youth to prepare them. It does not necessarily have to be college, but some place of higher level learning. We know if they go into college and learn to read, the statistics show that they're far likely to stay out of the prison system, and we do not have to house them for over $50,000 just to cage them and to become manufacturers of these large corporations who are paying them pennies on a dollar. So we must save our youth. And the way we save our youth is we better prepare them academically and educationally. Knowledge is power. And that's what our slogan is in Project 2019, and I will always believe that. But I also believe that when there's racism in the picture, it can prevent you from advancing. But you can overcome racism through psychological wellness. There is something called a psychological copacetic disorder, and we can overcome that by dealing with sick people in a different manner than drawing our arms back to strike out against discrimination. You don't have to worry about discrimination. It won't be with us always. You cannot continue to carry on in that manner because nature will not allow you to. So let's stop saying that the white man won't let me, he's preventing me, he's stopping me. Education is available, and the first thing you must understand, you must learn to be able to read. If you're able to read, you can get through high school. Most black men right now that are sitting in their homes that are illiterate, that would like to learn to read, go into your libraries, and don't be ashamed if you're not literate and you have not been reading, go in and ask to engage in a program to learn to read. It's expedient that we start educating our black men to learn to read so that they will become quasi-intelligent and not imbeciles and are taken because of their ignorance. It's very vital that we explain to them that this system that we've got going is a system to lock you up after three strikes. And if you don't read very well, you might not know that. And it's very vital that you should understand that there are more opportunities and jobs than slinging. There are great jobs out there that you might not ever have come across because you might not be literate. But once you become literate, you can read and find this out for yourself. I want to make a step toward saving our youth, our black males. And preachers, it is your responsibility to start these reading programs in your churches, to start these assessment programs in your churches, be an assessment site where you do testing, and you also do preparatory programs for your youth who are graduating and making sure that those parents all know that their graduating seniors should have an individual learning plan. Now, there are some things that we're going to have to hold you accountable for, preachers and deacons and evangelists. You're doing a whole lot of stuff, but it's a whole lot of nothing when it doesn't equate to anything. Our graduating numbers are dropping drastically in the black community, and we must get a hold of it. We must show that through educating our black males, it will stop the crime. It will prevent them from engaging in using caustic drugs and selling caustic drugs and getting time up to life for these products. Now, it's no secret. Every black boy and black man should know that being caught with the crime of drugs can be a doomsday for you. And preachers, you ought to be preaching on it to let them know that this is not the only way to make money and that there's many other opportunities that they can make money from. But when you find this is a way of life, you have to give them another choice, a choice that they cannot refuse. And education should not be turned away. We were denied education many years ago. Now reading is available to all of those who would reach out to it. Some of you do not have library cards, and those of you who are illiterate, go and get yourself a library card. It's your inalienable right. It's just like having a driver's license. There are level books that you can request, and there are large print that you can request, and you can also request to find a tutor within the library to help you. Do not be ashamed anymore. It's time out for ignorance. We must educate our youth, our black youth. There cannot be any more dropouts in our school district. And if we do not take special interest teachers or special ed teachers, if you do not take special interest in the black boys in your class, you're not doing your job. Because the predominant numbers of your special ed labeled children are black males. And you know it, and I know it. And statistics can back me up on that. Now, we're going to do a better job in offering our services as well. If there's any adult non-illiterate reader out there in the audience right now who would like to learn to read, I'm opening my doors for those who might need tutoring. And teachers, I tell you to open your doors as well. And anyone on the airwaves, we've gotten this knowledge and we forgot to reach back and pull our brothers and sisters up by the bootstrap. What good is a degree, a master teacher degree, if you can't help somebody with it? What good is a master teacher degree when you're not shedding education abroad? Now, education must be shed abroad. Our black boys are missing out on education. They are not receiving the same type of education that our female girls are. Our female girls are trained and taught, while our black boys are ignored and assume that they are ignorant and don't know the information. I know this. I spent time in the school district, and I saw it happening on many occasions. So how do we develop an individual plan? Teachers, some of you know that this is a mandatory requirement, and you don't even have a plan on file for the majority of your students in school right now who are planning to graduate. So we keep saying it's the administration's fault, it's the children's fault, it's the parents' fault. Parents, we are going to have to also ask the teachers to mandate something of the administration. Sometimes we're so fearful of our jobs, we don't stand up and tell the truth when we have to. Well, sometimes administration needs to be put in check, and we do have to call them on certain things in the school that is not in compliance. Any school that is in non-compliance, parents have the right to report them to the state. Now, transition is mandatory for special ed. There must be a transitional plan on file for every special ed candidate who has been diagnosed with a label. And parents, you can count on that. If your child has a label, you go to the school and you inquire about, does my child have a transitional plan? By the age of 14, he should have a transitional plan in his file if he has an IEP. Now, remember I said individualized learning plans are for regular ed students. That is something that is now becoming mandatory in certain states. You need to check with your state. Now, I'd like to also say that it's very, very vital that we begin to look at what is happening to our system of black boys. We cannot have 50% of our prisons endowed with black intelligent males. We cannot. Now, I am not censoring this topic for anyone, but I'm speaking to our black families and black teachers and black administrators and ministers and evangelists and deacons. We are responsible for this. We keep on going as if we're not responsible, but we are responsible for this. And if we choose not to engage our children in anything that does not prepare them for the workforce, then that is rightfully an option that we have. We do not have to continue on with our young black boys in school. I understand that special ed is a direct route into the penal institution from middle school on to high school. We've got to break that cycle. No one can house and imprison black men internally because nature will reject and repel against that. It is not a natural way. There are options that we have, and there are options to educate our black men, and we're going to take that option, and we're going to utilize that option. We're going to start with reading. This room is an international reading room because I wanted to educate anyone who needed to learn to read. And I still stand behind anyone that needs to learn to read. I will give you the tools that you need to learn to read and assist you and aid you and follow you and mentor you if need be. We need to come off of this stuff about I got mine, now you got to get yours. It's time for us to share what we have with those that don't have what you have. Because the more we educate, the better our communities will become. Because we don't have to be afraid of our brothers and sisters, because we are our brothers and sisters' keeper. But what we have to be afraid of is our men going away, being incarcerated, having to live like dogs. We don't want this continuing to happen, and we don't want them engaging in crack and cocaine. They've got to give it up. And if they're in your community doing this, you've got to confront them and let them know it means death. And we can't save them from death if they continue to do this. They must walk away from that, and they must get tutored and trained and find another way to support themselves and their families and find a way to do it honestly. It's vital that we take actions now. If your student does not have some type of plan to engage in transitioning out of high school, parent, you ought to be enraged. You go to those schools and you ask for a plan of a study of where that child plans to be upon graduation, if he's in regular ed or special ed. And parents, I'm faulting you for this because you can go to that school and raise sand. And I love it when a parent comes in and demands what is rightfully theirs. We've waited too long, and we've sat by, and we only have marched to get things done. We've got to stop that doggone marching and start writing and submitting letters. And if we can't get anything at the courthouse here, then take our affairs to the World United Affair so the world will know about what inadequacy we have. And maybe they will take heed and do something about the problem. African Americans cannot continue to be preyed upon and be the lesser of the group. We are intelligent. We are the parent group. Start acting like you're the parent group, and people will command your respect. Don't let them call you a minority anymore because you're not. You are non-immigrant, and you have been in this country longer than any race of people. And as long as you bow down and continue to act as if you are nobody or underclass, that's how you will be taken. Now, those of you who live in the ghetto, you might live in the ghetto, but the ghetto don't have to be in you. Get yourself educated. Cities and urban cities in Chicago were known to have intelligent young people who learned how to strategize. Just because they dwell in the ghetto doesn't mean that they have to act like a lower social economic person. We want to put down the Rodney King, and we want to put down the lower socioeconomic and the minority. Take those name tags off and wear what you really are, and that's a non-immigrant. And if need be, the rights that the Native American received, it's rightfully ours, because when they were signing up under the dollars roll, They were asking for anyone that was Native American to sign up. I was told, and it's confirmed, that some non-Native people signed up for a dollar, and they became known as a 50% Native American, and they got our birthright. And we didn't sign up. And we ought to understand that most of us African Americans are part Native American and do have birthright. And there are rights that we should be having right now. Everyone keeps saying the African American is not entitled to any rights, and they keep saying we're not entitled to reparations. But you better believe that you don't have to hand us anything, that Mother Nature is going to take control, and she's going to give us everything. And you better learn to share now with what rightfully belongs to us, or Mother Nature will take it all away from you, and it will be stored up for the righteous and the just. Now, Mother Nature told me to tell you that because I didn't have it in my spirit to tell you, but I'm telling you that because Mother Nature knows how to take revenge for anything that is not done in decent order. There's a lot going wrong in our school system that's been planned and created and planned for the black child to fail, especially the black male. The female child is just too sharp. You can't hold her back. But if you can hold the black male back by suspending him, expelling him, and pushing him through the cracks, he'll never get an education. But if we make a decision that we're going to educate in our homes and in our churches, we can make it happen tonight and turn this thing around tomorrow by making a commitment that every child must learn to read, every adult that's illiterate that wants to learn to read must learn to read. I ask you the question, would you care to read? Because once you learn to read, you open up all doors of understanding. And you then can make rightful judgment, and you can become rightly guided. Do not guide yourself, black men, into these prisons, into these traps, because you are working in slavery. Now, you know that slavery in our 13th Amendment said that slavery has been abolished, except for when you're duly be convicted of a crime, then you can be put back into slavery. And that's what's happening in these prisons. Now, if you do not want slavery to continue and you want it to stop, you've got to put down the cocaine and the methadone and the drugs, and do not push the drugs anymore. Make it up in your mind, black man, there are other things you can do with your life, like reading, like understanding how to pass knowledge on to your young brothers and sisters. We are going to have to make a change today, ladies and gentlemen, and we are going to have to make it quickly. Our education system has failed us, and we must institute learning. Us, parents, must institute learning. Now, educators, you are responsible, too, for duplicating learning in the home, and it's very vital that you should understand that anyone that is illiterate and wants to learn to read and wants to go off to higher level training and institution, you should open your doors to them. The library is not as user-friendly as it used to have been. It is not educating our people. The computers are there. There are some people that have never used a computer and don't have one in their home, but it's vital that we should teach them the old-fashioned way of how to use phonetic and blending and decoding and reading. That is your inalienable right. Take advantage of your inalienable rights. I open up the Care to Read room to you. You can email me and say, Omi, in private, I can't read. I'd love to learn to read. Can you show me the way? And I will oblige you in any way I know how. And teachers, I implore you to open your doors for reading all over this airwaves and in the family's home. And you've been listening to Maddie Harvey's Baby Sister, and I'd like to thank you for going all the way with me and me carrying this news.
Well, Mother is a message. Got to get the message to our brothers and
like to also say for the record, those counselors that are out there, I'd like for you to also call those students into the office and prepare them to get ready to make their transition for next year so that we can have a larger class of Black African-American male graduates. This is pathetic, what we are seeing with the dropout rate in the Black communities. And I'm appalled at what I see. And I know that we could do better because the education that we are feeding these children is inferior. And we could do a lot better at getting a lot more people learned so they can become literate. And as we begin to look at these airways, now we're able to chat all over the airways, but we also need to be able to articulate and read. And it is very vital, as Project 2019 wants to close the gap of illiteracy, and we know that discrimination cannot continue to go on where they hold you back. When you have intelligence, you still can make a way for yourself and be able to prosper and feed your family. So it's vital that you should learn to read so that you can execute learning and understanding. And it's very vital that us teachers come together and unite ourselves together to create a united front against our Black boys who are failing and those who are being railroaded into prison. We must take a stand, ladies. And I did not say men. I said ladies, because the Biblio says it's going to be 7-1 men, 7 women to every 1 man. And that is happening because our men are being incarcerated. And we are going to have to put our foot down and do something about it. And if we have to take our plea to the national, international, world judge system, then we have to carry it there because somebody needs to take a look at this. How are you railroading young children in middle school into the penal institution and you're tracking them so that you can calculate how many prisons to build based on how many children are in special ed? I guess because if they're ignorant, they will make a mistake somewhere along the way. We can prevent that, churches. Stop with the Sunday school and start teaching reading and start asking for teachers like myself and others to come and implement your reading program and have a storehouse of reading in every church so that every child will walk away literate and having some knowledge of print, anything in writing, and can read just about anything at his grade level. But if we don't do this, ministers, if we don't do this, it will fall upon us. It is no one else's responsibility to teach our people to read but us. If the school will not perpetuate higher-level learning and execute learning, then we must pull our children out of these institutions of madness and bring them into homeschooling and teach them in a proper manner. If they were able to do this right out of the cotton fields and build universities right out of the cotton field, we now have higher-level degrees. Why can't we do something better than what we're doing? We must do something better. And I implore you that our Black males are not ignorant and they're not criminals, and they should not be caged and locked up. Now, if there's such a fear of what they might become, then let us keep them out of the institutions and train them at home. Because parents, we cannot continue to give our children over to mass murdering and to imprisonment.